Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
All right, let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for another time that you have given to us, another opportunity that you have reserved for us and appointed for us. And we also thank you that you have given us your Spirit, whom we can depend upon to minister those things that you have for us today. As your word tells us, that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes the things for which you've sent it. And so we look to that ministry to each of us this morning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. This is the seventh speech and a collection of 11 speeches and three poems in the first a section of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 8, through to the end of chapter 9. So the seventh speech of 11 that Solomon has given to his son, they are speeches and they're proverbs. A proverb is, in this context, is the wisdom of God. And as we've shared with you several times, the book of Proverbs is the wisdom of God for every situation and circumstance in life. And today we have a very special study in verses 20 to 27, the instruction concerning influences. The instruction concerning influences. This is probably the most important issue and subject in the Scriptures that the Bible deals with, are influences on a person's life. Later on in the book of Proverbs, we will see that Solomon will tell us that as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, a person is whatever they've been programmed to think. Whatever influences they have been exposed to, and whatever persuasions have developed our philosophy of life and character as a person is what makes us who we are. And so Solomon is very sensitive to the area of influences. In verses 1 to 9 of this chapter, the fifth speech, Solomon gave instructions concerning the propagation of fatherly wisdom, that is, passing on to his sons and his children those things which his father passed on to him. So basically what Solomon is doing for us is he's passing on to us what his father taught him and what Solomon taught his children. I would hope that our relationship with this book would be in such a way that it would be the book of wisdom for each of us. As I've said, the book of Proverbs is divided up into 31 chapters. If you, in your devotions at the beginning or end of the day, if you were to read the devotion that corresponds to the date of the calendar, you find you get to go through the book of Proverbs every month, reviewing and being exposed to the wisdom that's in the book. That's what we're doing. We're building our own relationship with the book of Proverbs, and it's good for us to teach our children these things, is to go over the book of Proverbs with our children and pass down to them what God has shared with us and his wisdom from out of the book. In verses 10 to 19 that we saw last week, the sixth speech, the instruction concerning the two roads. And our study today has a lot to do with that. The road of wisdom and the road of destruction. There's only two roads. And a person is on one of those two roads. The road of wisdom or destruction. Solomon also said these two roads. One is the road of light. That would be the road of wisdom. And one is the road of darkness, spiritual darkness. To the point that people are stumbling over things and they, just like we would stumble over things in the dark, spiritually people are stumbling over things in life and don't even know some of the things that they're really getting involved in or what the true problem really is in life. So today, the instruction concerning influences, the seventh speech. I want to point out to you, and if you're note-taking, whether mental or literal, with a pen or pencil, I want to point out to you that Solomon presents 8 body parts in verses 20 to 27. He's talking about influences. So he's talking about 8 body parts. 3 of them are repeated, but I want to point them out to you. Notice in verse 1, "My son, pay attention to my words. Incline or bend your ear to my speeches." The ear. In verse 21, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Guard them in the middle of your heart, because they are life to the ones finding them and healing to all his flesh." That is his human body. In verse 23, "From all your guarding, protect your heart." So it's a repeat of the word heart. Obviously, heart is the center of Solomon's speech here. Because from it are the issues of life. "Cause the crooked mouth," the froward or crooked mouth, "turn away from you. And cause the crookedness of lips to be separated from you. Let your eyes," that's a repeat from verse 21, "let your eyes look to the front. Let your eyelids look straight in front of you." Verse 26, "Make level the path of your foot." The 8th thing. "And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." So again, a repeat. Verse 26, there are 8 body parts. What Solomon is doing is saying, "Son, there are many influences in life that influence the various aspects of your life. You have to be conscious of your heart." We'll get into that in a moment. Because out of it are the issues of life. From out of your heart, as it's been programmed and planned, it dictates to us how we use our hands and how the direction of our feet and the decisions that we of the places that we go to, how we speak with our mouth and with our lips, what we see with our eyes. There's a warning there as we read through. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't let it wander off the path. And just because of the message of the two roads last week, it reminds us that what Solomon, in fact, the whole Bible is presenting to us, is that God's wisdom is directing us down the middle pathway in a jungle. Life is a jungle. But there is a pathway of God that goes through the jungle that leads us to safety. We've studied before how that God says that if you go down this path, we saw it last week, if we go down this path, you will not stumble. Nothing will hinder you if you go down God's path. But if you get off the path, you're susceptible to whatever is in the jungle. And in many instances, we don't know what's there. Whether it be the snakes and the wild animals from the trees or from the ground or the quicksand or anything else that might be out there. We don't know. It might look good. that nice meadow over there in the clearing might look good, but what's in there? And how's it going to affect us? So you see, and this is something that we've tried to emphasize, that Jesus is emphasizing to us in the Gospel of Matthew, is that we're not talking about religion here. We're not talking about rules and regulations by which we live by. We're talking about a relationship. A relationship with Christ. And how our life is being developed and built. And that's the message of Scripture. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And the Lord wants to develop us and transform us and change us from the effects of sin that we suffer from. He wants to change us and transform us into a new creation, a new person, by the way we think and the way we speak. And again, there's lots of people that discipline themselves and develop themselves religiously by how they speak and how they act. Talking about a relationship with God's Spirit from the inside that magnifies His thoughts, His speech, and His person, and His Spirit. So in verses 20 to 22 of chapter 4, we have the counsel of wisdom. Here is wisdom's counsel through Solomon as he again encourages his son. Every single message we've seen is as Solomon says, "Son, before we get into the meat of what I want to say to you, let me emphasize to you, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline or bend your ear to my speeches." Notice it's plural. All of my speeches. Don't just listen. I want you to hear. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, I told you about the Greek and Hebrew word for to listen and to hear. It's part of a word that has to do with obedience in the Scriptures. Hupokuo in the Greek is obey your parents. That's not legalistically following the rules, but put your hearing under your parents. And the reason why it's translated obey is because we do obey the influences that we put our hearing under. Certain music we listen to, and the influence of it creates and shapes our thinking and our actions and how we dress and how we talk and how we act. The places and activities that we go and participate in has an influence on how we talk and how we act. And we kind of take on a personification of the various things in which we put our hearing under. Those are influences. We automatically obey whatever we're putting our hearing under. Not things we listen to, but things that we put our hearing under. And so he says, "My son, pay attention to my words and bend your ear to my speeches." Incline. Put your hearing in my direction. Don't just listen. Let me encourage you again, son, to hear me, not just listen to me. I want you to hear me. He says in verse 21, "Do not let these speeches and his words, do not let them depart from your eyes." He's just talking about the ears. Well, he wants his son to put the wisdom that he's sharing with them in his sights at all times. Don't lose sight of wisdom. Not just physically seeing, but this insight. Let it be before you at all times. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Then he says, guard them in the middle of your heart. Now, both the Greeks and the Hebrews, more so the Greeks, use the internal organs of the body to describe the inner person, the spirit of man. Use the word heart for the center of person. It's not talking about the muscle that pumps blood, but they're using that to show that your heart, your spirit, the center of you as a person is what causes your entire system to work. There's the bowels in the New Testament as an example of compassion, deep down compassion, bowels of mercies. So something that's not surface, but deep down within a person. And so the heart represents the inner person, the center of one's being. Again, not the muscle that pumps blood, but your spirit, which includes three things. It includes your mind, your thinking and reasoning, the center of your person, your emotions, and thirdly, your will. That is, your motives for what you do and your decision-making. The center and heart of you as a person. So you can see that Solomon's not talking about, my son, make sure you be religious and go to church when you should and participate in the liturgy and all the religious activities and you're good. He's talking about your innermost being and the influences. Incline your ear over in my direction and don't lose sight of the wisdom of God for your life. Guard them in the middle of your heart. Let God's wisdom be the center of everything. Your thinking and your reasoning and your emotions and your will, your decision-making processes. Let God's wisdom guard it so it stays in the middle of your heart, that it's not discarded off to the side. So again, it's parallel with what he just said before. Keep it in your sights. Keep it in the middle of your heart. Guard it so that it's in the middle of your heart and it doesn't leave and it doesn't escape. That it's your constant influence in everything that you do. Verse 22. Because they are life to the ones finding them. That is wisdom. And healing to all of his flesh or all of his body. The human benefits. Two things. Wisdom is life to the ones finding them. Remember, we have shared with you that once you get into the New Testament presents Jesus Christ as being wisdom. In fact, wisdom is personified. Back in at the end of Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom was walking through the streets, calling out to people to listen. But people would not respond. So when wisdom says, well, then you will suffer the consequences. You will reap what you have sown because you have not listened to wisdom. So wisdom is personified. And it's interesting that Jesus himself, John 14:6, says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. If you have Christ living in you, you have life. When you experience Christ, you experience life. Everything outside of Christ is existence. Now, we're alive, but we're in existence. We experience things, but we're doing it while being in existence. We don't really experience life until we receive Christ and experience him and a personal relationship with him. He is life. In John chapter 6, about verse 63, Jesus said that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The Lord's Spirit breathes life, ministers life from his very spirit as we fellowship with him and as we follow him. They are life to the ones finding them. And secondly, and healing to all his flesh, all of his human. The word for healing or health is the Hebrew word that has to do with calmness or refreshment. It's the opposite of stress. What he's saying is, son, you follow the wisdom of God. There are enough difficulties in life. There are enough stressful situations in life. But what wisdom does is bring calmness and refreshment to your human body that's going to be under tremendous stress and tremendous strain. And you are going to be kept safe and protected from a lot of the effects of stress and strain in this life if you follow the wisdom of God. He's not saying you will not experience any stress or difficulty. It's just that he's saying that that kind of stress and difficulty that wears on the body and brings it down, he said, you will experience health in that area instead of the stress and difficulties of life. So there's spiritual life and there's physical health in following wisdom. Now in verses 23 to 27, the conduct of wisdom. Wisdom has to do with our conduct, how we use and what we do with the physical members of our body. This is not legalism. These are not rules and regulations. We all, in a natural way, and I want us to think about this because it just comes so natural. We, in a natural way, give ourselves over to influences all day, every day. And what Solomon is saying is use wisdom as to what you expose yourself to and what you expose your kids to, because that is what is shaping who they are and what they will be. I had a fellow tell me one time, he says, well, my philosophy in life is that when you're born as a baby, you're born fully aware of everything and fully developed. You just have to grow into it. And I said, no. The human being is born into this world with a blank computer. And that computer brain, that computer mind is programmed to what to think and how to think and by the various influences and circumstances that child is in. And we can be we can be overly protective, yet at the same time, we have to understand that a lot of things that we influences that we give our kids over to, or we give ourselves over to, shapes who we are as a person and our philosophy in life. And how we dress and how we talk and how we represent ourselves in life. And in fact, I usually peruse the news on Sunday mornings on the internet, but I saw an article that I had to check out and how the Liberty University, Christian University in Virginia, is the first institution of its kind that has developed a program for electronic detox. it's helping young people kick the addiction of electronic devices. And so they described it and they showed it. It was very, very interesting, the statistics and the influences of electronic devices and how people are losing the ability to do one-on-one with other people, look them in the eye and talk with them and communicate with them. They have to use electronic devices and dependency upon them. Obviously, everything has its problems. And that's just an example of someone can give themselves over, adult or young person, give themselves over and become addicted to it. And those devices dictate who they are as a person, and they change their whole habit of life and lifestyle built around an electronic device or devices. That's just one of thousands, if not millions, of ways in our lifetime that we get exposed to influences that program us. And interesting that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says to the believer that after you're saved, after you have received Christ, is stop being conformed to this world, but rather be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what God's Spirit does. After a person is saved, after Christ comes to live within a person, from within side, the Spirit of Christ transforms our thinking, heals us, and changes us from the influences and our experiences of sin before we got saved, and literally changes the cortex of our brain. Not by memorizing rules and regulations, but spiritually and supernaturally. By our exposure to God's Word, and specifically God's wisdom, is that God's Spirit begins to rewrite the cortex of our brain to counter the effects of sin that we were involved with before Christ. So the conduct of wisdom, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence is the English phrase that is trying to express a double presentation here. Notice what the literal translation is. From all of your guarding, as you're guarding your life. Now we all guard, we're all on guard to a certain degree. We're on guard with somebody breaking into our home, breaking into our car. We're on guard when we're in public of people coming up and bullying us or causing us harm or getting in our space or causing trouble. We're on guard to a certain degree all the time. From all of your guarding, he says, protect your heart. That's the one thing that you want to make sure. Among all of your guarding, that's the one thing that you want to make sure that you guard. This inner person, your mind, you want to guard as to what influence is influencing your mind. Or your emotions. I don't like to go to church and have them play with my emotions. I don't like to go anywhere and have people play with my emotions to try to get me to experience things or do things. And then my will, that's that part of the heart, my decision making. I want to make sure that I'm influenced by Christ and His Word. So from all of your guarding, protect your heart, this inner person. In Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, Jesus said to the religious leaders, because what religion does is guard what we intake. The religious leaders came to Jesus and said, your disciples don't ceremonially wash their hands before they eat. They don't religiously wash their hands in a certain way before they eat. Jesus said, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a person. But Mark 7:20 says, but that which comes out of a person, this is what defiles a person. For from within, out of the heart of people, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, immoralities, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, which means behavior that has no rules and regulations, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. And that's what defiles a person. It comes from out of the heart. It's not what you intake by food that defiles you. It's the fact that we have a corrupt heart. We have a corrupt inner person. We are sinners. And sin has corrupted our heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, he called them snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. They're very religious and very proper, as we would say, very political. Politically correct in their religious language. But then they got mad at Jesus and blasphemed him. And he says, how can you present yourself as being good and talk like that? See, you're just disciplining yourself to be religious, but from inside, the corrupt heart, that's from where you're speaking from, and that's what we have to address. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said, you hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus said, Isaiah prophesied, and it's true today, you honor God with your lips, and with your mouth you praise, but in your heart you don't submit to and believe in and follow the Lord. Jesus said, your heart is far from me, even though religiously you honor me in all other areas. So it's the heart that's corrupt. Sin comes from out of the heart. And since I am a sinner and I have received Jesus, where did his spirit come? When I received Christ, his spirit came into my heart. For him to influence my thinking, for him to influence my emotions, for him to influence my will and decision making. Why? Because I'm naturally corrupted from sin. So verse 23, from all of your guarding, protect your heart. Here's the reason, because from it are the issues of life. All of the issues of life come out of the heart, my inner person. Verse 24, put away from you the froward or crooked mouth, and cause the crookedness of lips to be separated from you. He's talking about the speech here. Not just the mouth, but also the lips, being very specific. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the one who is building up, that it might minister grace to the ones who are hearing. Our words either build people up or tear people down. James, in James chapter 3, verse 6, says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members of our body. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the whole course of nature and is set on fire from hell. Our whole course of life is established or destroyed by what we say. We have anger problems. We say things to people. We destroy relationships. We affect the course of life by what we say to people, how we say it, whether it's the grace of God or whether it's very destructive. So James is saying the tongue is a very small member, yet it rules the whole body. And your whole course of life is mapped out for you by your speech. Verse 25, let your eyes look to the front, and let your eyelids look straight in front of you. In other words, stay focused. Remember, we talked about that path that's going through the jungle. Keep your eyes focused and fixed. I always have in view, you ever see the horses that pull carriages down the streets, and they have the blinders on the horses so that the horses cannot be distracted from anything from the side, just to make them look straight ahead and the path in front of them and not be distracted from what's going on around them. That's what he's saying here. Stay focused. Don't get looking off to the left or to the right, and we'll see that in a moment. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says that we are running the race that is set before us. but do it by looking unto Jesus, the author and completer of the faith. So if you're running a race, you're looking at the finish line. That's your goal. You're not looking up in the stands waving to your family and friends while you're running the race. You're looking off onto Jesus. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on that path. Christ is the path. He is the wisdom. So look straight ahead, and your eyelids, even not just the eyeball, but the eyelids, don't let your eyelids interfere with the focus. Keep looking straight ahead. Verse 26. Make level, not just ponder, but make level the path of your foot. And then, instead of it being a command in the Hebrew, it's literally a promise. And all your ways will be established. Make level the path of your foot. Make decisions as to where your feet are going. Make sure it's on the right path when you make decisions. Your feet are going to walk wherever you make a decision. Make sure your foot is on the level path. And all your ways are going to be established. Secure, firm, confirmed. Verse 27. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but rather turn your foot away from evil. So again, we had to stay focused with our eyes, but here is something that's very familiar in Scripture, and that is the foot walking down the path. Don't get off the path to the left or to the right. I think I told you last week or the week before, you go into a park and you go on some of the walking trails. There'll be signs along the trail that'll tell you, don't leave the path. Poison oak, poison ivy, and other dangerous things. Stay on the path. That's what the Lord is telling his people. Stay on the path of wisdom. Keep your feet walking where your focus is, but look off onto Jesus and keep your focus on him. Now, God's already told his people this many times in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33, when God gave his commandment and his law to the Jewish people, he says, you shall observe to do therefore as Yahweh your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which Yahweh your God has commanded you to go, so that you may live, that is, experience life, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And to this day, the Jews are still fighting for the land that God promised them. He says, if you want to experience life, not existence, life, quality of life, spiritual life, in the person of Jesus Christ, and for the Jews, it was God promised them the land, but if they disobeyed him, he would take the land away, which is what he has done up to this point. When Christ comes back at his second coming, he will restore the land to the Jews. But they were told before, at the beginning, don't just follow the commands of God. Don't go to the left or the right. Just do what he wants you to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 14, again, leaving off from giving the commands, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I commanded you this day, to go to the right or to go to the left, and to go after other gods to serve them. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, before Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, he told Joshua, only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may prosper in whatever you do. Do what God has said, Joshua. Don't turn to the left or to the right, so that your life will prosper with the blessing and the promises that God promises. You get off the path, and I'll keep repeating this probably till the day I die, that the basic principle of life is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a person sows, that they shall also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life, quality of life, spiritual life. We automatically, whether you're saved or not saved, whether you're Christian or not Christian, every person is under that principle and law in life. I experience the consequences of all the things that I do, whether it's spiritual blessings or the curse that comes with sowing to the flesh and reaping the consequences of it. You don't know how many times in discussions that other Christians have said to me, well, I'm not under the law, we're not under rules and regulations, we're under grace when it comes to Christ. Yes, but if you don't follow Christ and you go your own way, you will suffer the consequences for it automatically. We are not immune from that just because we're under grace, because we follow a person, not rules, not regulations. We follow Christ. He's our guide that's taking us down that path. And if we decide to go to the left or to the right or go our own way and say, I'll catch up with you later, we will suffer the consequences from going our own way, which is what we naturally do. So you can see the emphasis. Solomon telling him his son, what you give your mind over to, what you see with your eyes, what you hear with your ears, you take in with your ears. You take it into your heart. Your heart is being influenced and constructed and programmed to who you are as a person. As a person thinks, so is he, Solomon's going to tell us later. What we do with our hands, where our feet take us, we're making decisions as to what to do with these hands and do with these feet. He says, you're giving yourself over to, you're taking yourself into situations with influences that are not healthy, that will take you away from Christ. Stay on the path. Let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that ministers and impresses upon our minds and our hearts with these important truths that are taught throughout your word. You're not impressed with or concerned with external religious practices. Your concern and your desire is to have a personal relationship with us in the inner man, in the inner person, so that you might influence and develop and renew our minds and influence our speech so that others might receive the grace of Christ, not the human language and the human destruction. That our lives will exhibit the person of Christ himself, that others might see and be touched and ministered to by him. Help us to see that we have a responsibility to guard and protect our hearts as to what influences come in, so that it keeps our walk with Christ healthy and intimate and alive. We pray that your Spirit would help us to understand the importance of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.